Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, we're back. It is Tuesday, and we are here for Power in the Word, Real Talk with the Pastors. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I will be joined momentarily by my wonderful husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons. It is a blessing. It is a blessing to be here, to be with you, to be here on today. It's a blessing to be alive. It is a good day to be alive. I'm just so glad that the Lord blessed me with another day to do his work here in the land of the living. Amen and praise God. And again, this is Real Talk with the Pastors, Pastor Anthony and myself. And we don't have co-hosts today. I see that that is on the board. But we have co-hosts on Thursday, so you want to tune in on Thursday for Woman to Woman, where I am joined by Tina Michelle Borsico and Prophetess Angie Singletary, and we get together on Thursdays to just basically talk to the women. So Thursday is Woman to Woman, so you want to tune in on Thursday. But how are you doing today? I pray, it is my prayer that you are doing really, really, really well. And speaking of prayer, let's go into prayer, and then we will just go ahead and move forward with today's broadcast. Let us pray. Father God, I praise your holy name. Lord, I worship you. You are worthy to be praised. There is none like you, Lord, and I magnify your name today. God, I give you the glory, the honor, and the praise just because of who you are. I love you. I worship you. I cherish you. I adore you. And I'm just so grateful to you for all that you have done in my life and all that you have done in my husband's life and the life of my family and everything that you continue to do. God, you are awesome. And I'm just a privilege to be counted as your daughter on today. So, Lord, I ask, Father God, that you bless every listener, every person that is listening to the sound of this prayer right now. I ask that you bless my husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons, as he comes, God. I ask that you bless a special blessing for Prophetess Priscilla Pelser, Father God, whom I just got off the phone with her, God. A special blessing, Father God, for all of those standing in the need of something today. Whatever it is, Lord, bless them in that particular area, God. Only you know what it is that we need. So, Lord, I give this time to you. We give this time to you, and we ask that you have your way. Save souls, change lives, set the captives free, open the eyes of the blind. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. There's nothing like prayer. There is nothing like prayer to take you into the presence of the Lord. And no matter what you do, no matter how busy it gets, no matter how hectic it gets, no matter how much you have to fight during your daily walk, remember to stay in communion with God through prayer, because that is the thing that's going to give you your directive and your peace when you stay in prayer. Amen and praise God. Pastor Anthony is joining me now. God bless you, honey.
God bless you. What's going on?
Everything is good. Everything is good. Everything is great. God is good. God is great. God is wonderful. He's marvelous in my sight. I love him, and I'm praising him today. Can't you tell?
Oh, yes. I just sense it in the spirit, and I hear it in your voice that you are rejoicing in the moment, living in the moment. Amen.
Amen.
Maximizing the moment. I remember reading a book, Maximize the Moment. I think that was by T.D. Jakes. But
yes.
It's just awesome how we do maximize the moments in which we're living in.
Wow. Wow. And we were talking about that, you and I. You know, that's so funny that you mentioned it, because maximizing the moment is exactly what I'm trying to do on a daily basis, to maximize the moment, because we get so caught up in tomorrow. You know,
yes.
We're wondering what's going to happen tomorrow. Am I going to be able to have more peace tomorrow? Will I be able to have more joy tomorrow? Will that thing that I've been praying for and hoping for come into manifestation on tomorrow? We truly do get caught up, I believe, too much on what's going to happen tomorrow. And I do believe, Pastor Anthony, that that's why Jesus told us not to worry about tomorrow.
Amen. I mean, he said tomorrow will have enough troubles of his own, but not only that, tomorrow will take care of itself. So it's just so awesome that we need to focus in on and key in on those things that really matter. And one of the things that's in my spirit today, I pray we covered during this discussion, is, dealing with relationships that matter, those meaningful relationships. You know, I talked to my mother earlier this morning, and I always have a good time talking to her, even when I visit her. But she's 82, for those of you who don't know, I've shared across these airways about my mother. But she's 82, and she's not in the best of health. But, you know, Pastor Rebecca, she just showed me this morning. She said it could be a lot worse. And she went back to say, you know, about some people being on dialysis, and she can still, you know, use the bathroom on her own, and some people are hooked up to machines and can't do anything for themselves. And so even though her situation is not the best as far as her health, she's rejoicing knowing that God has given her the ability to do certain things. So it's just so amazing how we can really look at the bright side of life and really look at the glass half full and really be optimistic about life. And it's just an awesome place where you get your mind set, as you just said, on the blessings that we have right there in our midst. And those meaningful relationships, it's just so awesome. And you and I have seen, you know, people come to the end of the road, and sometimes it's an estranged relationship with the parents and the children. We know some situations where family members aren't talking. We know even sometimes in our own personal life, we reached out to loved ones, and sometimes they either want their distance or their space. But we're going to focus on the relationships that matter. We're going to try to establish new relationships, yet we're going to try to really keep in mind that God has given us just an awesome opportunity to do what we can do today. And one of those things is, care about the people that we love. And you shared that on Sunday in our service, that if we give love, that love will be reciprocated back to us if we abide in God's love, and the love that Jesus has for us is the most important relationship.
And you shared
that with the church and the congregation, how important it is to have love for one another.
And
that's a powerful thing.
Yeah, because that was, you know, it caught my attention when I was meditating on the scripture last week. And Pastor Anthony, I want to welcome our guest 394 and also Mrs. D. Neal Dana to the chat room. And everyone else who's listening, who's streaming, I want to welcome you. We're so glad that you could stop in. Whether you stop in for a minute or an hour, we're always happy to see you. And Pastor Emily, that scripture caught my attention when I was meditating last week, where the most important thing to Jesus in his ministry, the most important thing was that we love God, with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind, and that we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So he took that commandment from the book of Exodus that was given to Moses on Mount Sinai, and he took it to another level, because Moses said, love the Lord your God, you know, with all your heart, your mind, your soul, everything in you, and don't have any other gods before him. But Jesus took it a step further and said, love your neighbor even as you love yourself. So the concern is that we as the church, we as the people of God, would love each other. And sad to say that that's a big complaint in the church today, that people can walk into a church, especially a mega church, a big church, and not even speak to each other, that we can walk right past each other on a Sunday morning on the way to our seats and not even say hello to the brother or sister in Christ. Even if you don't know them, or even in some cases you know the person, you've been having church with them for a while, How much effort does it take to say good morning or to smile or to say hello or to give somebody a hug of love? How much effort does it take? And what is the testimony that we're given, when we don't speak to each other? When
Amen.
We don't acknowledge each other?
That's something so powerful. And you know, the Bible says don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. And I think the heart of God is grieved. And the word fellowship means just that. It's a fellowship with each other. You know, we don't come together on Sunday, like I said, get our dose of motivation or inspiration and go back and just keep on moving the life as usual. We're coming to, you know, iron sharpening iron, knowing that believers are assembling together to encourage one another. And there's a purpose why we gather on Sunday for worship. And you're so on point when you say that is something drastically missing in the body of Christ. You know, we're all trying to do ministry. We're all trying to sort of save the world or fulfill our purpose. And yet we're walking sometimes over that ministry moment that God gives us even in our local congregation.
Wow.
And, I mean, you shared a lot in your books and even in your personal life. There was one time you had a moment and people were walking right by and didn't even see the tears. And it's just something that we have an agenda sometimes as the body of Christ, and you and I have erred, and we're not above reproach. But it's one of those things that we're sensitive to now as pastors, but we've been there, done that, and we still see it, where somebody can, just like you said, look past someone and just rush off. And God is telling us to really look at each other and care about our neighbor.
Yeah.
And you preach that thing. You went a step further to tell us to love our enemies. And we'll talk about that a little later, but you even took it even further to say love on your enemies, because that's a command of the Bible.
Well, that's what Jesus said. You know, Jesus told us, and I have to pull up the scripture because you're talking about the sermon that I preached on this past Sunday, but Jesus told us to love our neighbor, but he said love your enemy. He said do good to those who hate you. You know, he said, pray for those who hate you. Do good to those who use you, despitefully use you, and who persecute you. And so often we're running around with so much grief in our hearts, so much bitterness and resentment against people, even in the church, against Christians, against each other. And we're forgetting this commandment that we have been commanded to love each other. We've been commanded to love the people in the body especially, but we've also been commanded to love our enemy. And that's a hard pill to swallow. That's a hard pill to swallow.
That's a challenge. And I think that's why, you know, the Bible is just the word. You know, it is the word of God. It has nothing to do with our rational or logical thinking. It is the word of God. Because he knows the benefit of us loving our enemies, because he knows the consequence of having bitterness in our heart, that he can't bless a heart and heart.
My God.
When people do offenses against us, we got to let the offense go. I mean, you teach and minister to this area a lot, letting go of the pain of the past. And sometimes that's easier said than done. But we got to release it so we can get the blessings.
That's right.
We got to release people so we can get the breakthrough. And we got to release people so we can hear from God clearly. To let us know what he wants us to do.
That's right. And the sermon that I preached, and that will be up next week, because I do put the videos up, but I won't be able to put this one up until next week, because we have another sermon being run on our website this week. And what was the name of that sermon, Pastor Anthony, that you preached on last Sunday?
The best is yet to come.
The best is yet to come. So that will be running later on our website later on today, in about an hour after we get off the air, at nccmonline.org. And I will play Abiding in God's Love next week at that same place. But this week, there's still an awesome word, but we need to abide in God's love. And I want to welcome Peas in Their Pods, as well as Bible Trivia 101 and KB to the chat room. The scripture that I preached on, and this is just so important, I'm going to read it. John 15:7-17 says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And this is Jesus speaking. Verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Amen. And how clearly, how much clearer can Jesus make it? That it is just so important to him that we love each other. And he said,
that's so powerful.
My God.
I mean,
you
read it, and it says it emphasizes that point you're making twice in that text.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is so important. When that word hits you, like it has probably hit the people who are listening, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to love my brother in Christ. I'm supposed to love my sister in Christ. It's a reminder, because so often we get caught up doing ministry. We get caught up preaching. We get caught up fighting. Because we know we fight not against flesh and blood, but we're fighting against spiritual principalities and evil in dark, high places. So we get caught up in the fight, and we get caught up standing. I need to learn how to stand, because I'm in this war. Tribulation has come upon me, and I have to remind myself that the war is already won. So we get caught up in living this Christian walk. And I think we forget about the love. I really, Pastor Anthony, you know, Dana Neal, KB, I really think we forget about the love. I think we forget.
I mean, we almost sometimes don't forget about it, but it doesn't become priority on our list. You know, we're always going to text that person back. We're going to email them back. We're going to pick up the phone. And yes, something else gets in the way and distracts us or interferes with our pure intentions and motives. You know, I find that too with the busyness of life and the demands of our schedules and sometimes the agenda of the day. But as you're saying, we got to purposely live the Bible. You know, the Bible is the final authority. The Word got to supersede everything. And so if the Word says love on each other, we got to get that back in the church. And as you said, it's important. It is just so important, because the world is looking at the church, and if they don't see the love, we're wondering why our fellowships and our memberships and the church attendance is going downhill. Is one thing, they're not seeing the love of God.
My God. And in John chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So
what they want to see. That's what the world is looking for.
My God. My God.
And then they'll become a part of that, because we know there's so many in the world that are being unloved, children and adults alike.
My God. So what do you do when, God bless you, Kingdom Outreach Ministry and also Miracles, God bless you. So what do you do when you don't feel like loving? What do you do when somebody's not loving on you? You know, what do you do when people are looking down on you, when people are gossiping about you, and even in the church this happens? You know, what do you do when your sisters and brothers in Christ are not walking in love? Is there a responsibility that you have when they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing?
And that, I mean, not just the spiritual body, but sometimes in our own biological families, we see sometimes breakdowns with siblings or, again, as I told you, those family relationships. And what do we do? You started this topic, I mean, this show up by talking about prayer. And we really need discernment. We really need that spirit of discernment to judge, you know, whether we should press the issue or whether we should back up a little and let God be in control. Because there's some things that only God can touch. There's some people only God can minister to. And again, as you said, we're trying to go in and fix stuff, and we're trying to repair areas that are beyond us. And when we're not getting love back, and sometimes you're reaching out to folk who are unlovable, yeah, that thing takes you down a notch. And we're going to keep it as real as we can on this program, because we know some people are listening. They're trying to reconcile some things. They're trying to forgive and patch up some broken relationships. Some people have tried to mend some offenses, and it just hasn't happened. My advice to you is just to seek God. Seek God and continue to pray. You know, get into the Word of God. And when we pray, and that's how powerful prayer is, it is so effective.
Yeah.
I've seen prayers not just in the lives of my children, not just in our marriage, not just in my biological family, but even in some of our members and former members. I know that prayer works. And
yeah.
I'm going to continue to have that as one of my top priorities, because prayer will do things that we can't possibly do. So
Amen.
if you're listening, go ahead.
Go ahead, Pastor Anthony.
No, if some people are listening and they're dealing with that hard place of, like you said, just trying to do what they can do biblically and trying to be godly and holy, and they see no returns or they see no evidence of God working in that situation.
And so you don't just say forget about that person. They don't love me. I don't love them. But no, you love on them. You still love on them. And love does not mean that you have to be in relationship with a person. It does not mean that you are reaching out, calling them every day, or that you're even spending time with them. But say there's someone in the church that you have fallen out with. The first thing that you have to do is try to make amends with that person and ask them for forgiveness, and then you also have to forgive them for the wrong that they have done to you. And if that person wants to be re-counseled into a relationship where you can say, we're friends, then that's great. But if they don't want to be friends, you still are called to love. Love is not a feeling. Love is an action. So even if you don't feel like you like that person or you love that person, it's an action that you choose to do. I choose to love. And you go ahead and you continue to love that person. And when you see that person, you be cordial to that person. And if feelings of resentment bubble up in your chest towards that person, then that's a prayer concern, not for them, but for you. You have to go to God and say, God, take away the bitterness. Take away the pain. Take away the hard feelings that I have towards this person. Help me to forgive. And then you say, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what Jesus said on the cross. So we have to be disciples of Christ and do what Jesus did. And Pastor Emily, we're getting some powerful feedback in the chat room. Dana Neal says,
that is so awesome. Go ahead with the comments.
Dana Neal says, you have to love back. Regardless of what they do, you have to love. And Kingdom Outreach Ministry says, be confident in knowing that God loves you if no one else does. And Kingdom Outreach Ministry also says that God's love surpasses man's love. And let's see what else. And Dana says that we must give the love back. We must love as Jesus loved us. Jesus died for our sins, so we must love and continue to pray, as Pastor Anthony is saying. And also she's saying that forgiveness and love sounds like they go hand in hand. Miracle says that according to Christians, what is forgiveness? That's a good question. Miracles wants to know, Pastor Anthony, according to Christians, what is forgiveness?
Well, forgiveness, in my estimation, and Jesus emphasized this point in Mark 11, where he talks about, you know, moving that mountain and whatever you say. But it's amazing how he ends that text with, ask for forgiveness, you know, for those who have offended you. But as you are forgiven by your Father, So will, you know, you be forgiven as you forgive others. And, you know, I think about the Bible in the text where it says, how many times are you supposed to forgive your brother and your sister? And then the disciples said to Jesus, well, increase our faith. Because in our own ability, in our own fleshly ways, it is almost impossible. But the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will allow you to forgive. And forgive simply means to let go of the offense. Give it up to God and say, Lord, I'm not going to take this personally. I'm going to move beyond the offense. I'm going to move beyond the betrayal. I'm going to move beyond the hurt and what this person has done to me. And I'm going to give that thing to you. I'm going to release it from my heart because that's where it resides. When someone hurts us, whether it's a former husband or wife, someone has slept around on us, someone has put their hands on us, a childhood issue. I had issues, you know, even with my biological father, and I had to release that thing. Because for the first 30 years of my life, I had this anger issue. And until I released that thing and said, Lord, I forgive even my father who is now deceased, and I had to let that thing go, and now I am free to love. I am free to be a father to my own children. I am free to worship my God. And that is the estimation of forgiveness for the believer. For the believer, it's more than an apology and acceptance of apology. It's more than, you know, saying I'm sorry. To repent means to turn and to go in a whole other direction. That to me is real remorse. And Pastor Rebecca, let's just be so real as we can. Some people say, yes, I'm forgiven. But as you said, it's an action word. I just don't see that you have forgiven. Even when sometimes we see a certain person, there's a certain anger that's so stirred up. And that's when you need to go back to the altar and say, Lord, I need you to help me with this. Because obviously I haven't let it go. I don't have the ability to release this thing. And that's when God will do it.
Amen. And we have a caller, area code 702. I'm going to pick you up in 1 second. I just want to add to what Pastor Anthony was saying about what forgiveness is. It starts with us being forgiven first. See, miracles as a believer, as a Christian, you really don't have the capability to forgive like Pastor Anthony is talking about until you receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of God for your sins, everything that you've done wrong, that you know was wrong since the day that you were born until the time that you actually come into repentance, having remorse for some of the bad stuff that you've done, or even not so bad stuff, but you know it was not right, and say, God, forgive me for everything that I've ever done wrong, and I receive that forgiveness today. It's a total release of any debt that you owe to anybody, where God releases us from any debt that we owe to him by forgiving us of those sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the Christian forgiveness. That's how it starts. And as we have offenses against other people, now because we've been forgiven of so much, we've been forgiven of adultery and abortion and sleeping around with all kinds of people that were not our husbands and stealing and lying and cheating and gossiping and backbiting and whoremongering. We've been forgiven so much that now it becomes easier for us to forgive other people when they sin against us, when they offend us. So I pray that clears it up for you. We do have a caller. Pastor Anthony, you want to take this call?
Yes, let us take that call. Yes, absolutely.
Amen. Area code 702, you're on the air. Welcome.
Yes, I wanted to engage you guys in a conversation with respect to forgiveness, and I had a question and a comment about it.
Amen. Who are we speaking with?
My name is Alonzo.
Oh, what is your name?
Alonzo.
Alonzo, God bless you.
Thank you.
Amen. What is your question and your comment?
Okay, my question is with respect to the brother who he had an issue with his father. And I'm asking this question because I have a thought in my mind about forgiveness. And I want to ask you, did you require your father to apologize for what he did to you before you forgave him? Did you tell him that he have to do something to prove anything, or did you just let it go?
Well, my situation was a little different. I was the youngest of 8 children, and by the time I became a Christian, my father had now gone on into glory. But my anger was stirred up because, you know, we grew up in the hood like a lot of people, and I lost two of my siblings at an earlier age. And in my natural mind, me and my brothers tried to step up and be the men of the family. And I had rationalized in my mind that if my father had been the man that he was supposed to be, there's just certain things that me and my family would not have had to go through. So I never got to the place.
Forgiveness,
exactly. I never got to the place where I could ask him to repent of his wrongs. I never had that opportunity.
Had you been able to ask him, would you have forgiven him even if he did not repent of his wrong?
As a Christian, I can say absolutely yes now.
Okay, so then as a Christian, you would have forgiven your father even if he, suppose he had kept on doing it, would you have still forgiven him and without asking him to repent for it?
Meaning if he had kept doing the kind of...
He kept doing wrong to you, but
right.
you're saying that you would have forgiven him even though he did that. Even though he kept on doing wrong, you would have still forgiven him and would not have asked him to repent.
My honest response to you as the person I am today, with my relationship, you know, with Christ the way it is today, I can honestly say to you, I would have gave that thing over to Christ, and Christ would have gave me the ability to receive that repentance from his own lips. Yet if he had kept on doing what he needed to do, I don't know how it would have felt during those future events. I really can't speculate.
Okay. Now, so then what I'm driving at in my line of questioning is, so God tells us to forgive people. I think it was Jesus that said something along the lines, if somebody takes something from you, you will give them your cloak also, or something along those lines.
Yes, that's it.
He said if somebody curse you, you're supposed to bless them in return.
Yes.
And according to what you said, your father was cursing you, and you're suggesting that you bless him in return for his curses. Well, my question with that is, you know, it's sort of like saying somebody owed you $20 that they stole from you. And you said, okay, I'm not even going to ask you for the $20 back. You just keep the 20 because just counted that as a gift. I just gave it to you. Is that basically how you're characterizing forgiveness?
Like, you know, forgiveness.
Let's suppose I come to you and I take $20 from you, and
right.
I say, are you gonna tell me not only do I have $20 in my pocket, you missed this other pocket. I got another 10 in the pocket next to it. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I see what he's saying. Somebody hits you on one cheek, you turn the other cheek.
Yeah, that's
people laugh at us when we preach that. You turn the other cheek and let them hit you on the other cheek. You know, most
that's
people will hit
you,
the back.
Is that the gist of what I'm hearing when you talk about forgiveness?
Well, I love what you're almost getting at, but, you know, the scenario that you're pointing out is one that would be challenging for any human being. And one of the things, as my wife said earlier on this program, is that even though people have forgiven offenses like molestation or rape, it's not up to us to be super Christians and go trying to have relationship with the people that we release from that offense. In other words, as you said, you may have the ability to subject yourself to more harm from this individual. God is not necessarily telling us that. You know, forgiveness means go back and get some more, you know, butt whooping.
Right.
I don't think God is telling us that. You got to use discernment in every given situation. Some people have forgiven childhood abuses, but they still have nothing to do with that parent or that adult or that individual that did the offense. But yet they have truly forgiven.
Here's my real question. Now, this is my real question, but I just want to make sure I was clear.
Amen.
Before I hit it. My real question is, if God requires us to turn the other cheek. If somebody do something to you, you let it go. You release it. Then it doesn't make sense to me for God to get all ticked off and start talking about somebody got to die. One of y'all going to die. And I can't find nobody good enough to die, so I'm going to kill myself or my own son to make up for, because somebody got to pay. It's like somebody saying to you, well, you stole $20 from me, I forgive you, but I'm going to force you or somebody to pay that $20 back and then still call it forgiveness. It doesn't make sense. Either God forgave or he required payment. You can't require payment.
He requires payment.
Okay, if he required payment, then it's not forgiveness of the debt. If it's, if I owe you a money, if I
it's
owe you a
debt. It's been paid, but the debt has
okay,
been paid.
Okay, but then, therefore, if it's been paid, if my debt been paid, it's like me going, just hear me out. I know what I'm saying is rough on the ears.
No, go ahead.
Just
we want to
hear
talk
me out.
To you.
Try to hear me out here.
Uh-huh.
If you want to talk to me, try to hear out my reasoning. Then I know it's a difficult thing to hear, but it's what my reasoning is. If I owe you a debt, and you said you got to pay that debt, and then somebody pay it, then you can't come around and talk about you forgave me. You required me to pay, or my friend just happened to have the money to pay it for me. But the fact of the matter is the debt has been paid,
yes,
and you didn't forgive it. But if you forgive the debt, you cannot at the same time start talking about, you. I forgive you, but you still got to pay. You can't. It contradicts itself. Because payment rules out forgiveness of the debt, and forgiveness rules out the requirement for payment. So that's really where my question is. What in the Christian mind does forgiveness mean? Does forgiveness mean you got to pay it and you still talk about forgiveness? Or forgiveness mean that we don't even have to pay the debt no more? It's over.
Right.
You want to answer, Pastor Rebecca?
Right, I'm trying to get clarity. God bless you, Prophetess Singletary. I'm trying to get clarity on the question, but I think I have it. You're saying if it's good for us, if it's good enough for us to say, you know what, you did me wrong. You don't have to come and apologize to me. I'm going to forgive you anyway, and let you go. I'm just going to let it go because I'm just going to. I've been required to forgive. God asked me, God commands me to forgive, so I'm going to forgive you. You're saying that's okay for us, but then by the same token you're saying, here is our big old God who's saying, you know what, y'all all sinners.
It's hypocritical.
Hear me out. I heard you out. You sinners, you did wrong. You were born in sin. You got to be forgiven in order to come back and be in relationship with me. You have to repent and receive the forgiveness that's being offered through the blood that was shed through my son. So somebody had to die. Blood had to be shed in order for this forgiveness to take place. So what you're saying is it seems to be a contradiction between the two. But what in the first thing I have to say about the Christian mind, we believe by faith. And God takes the foolish things to confound the wise. So what we believe, we don't believe in the intellect. We believe in the spirit. And it's hard for the carnal mind to understand spiritual things. And then the second part of that answer that I'll give you is that even the debt of those who transgress against me have been paid. And in other words, my father, who abandoned me when I was a little girl, even his debt has already been paid by the blood. So, you know, even if and you're saying, well, what if he wasn't a Christian? You know, that goes into a whole nother conversation. But one thing that I want to say about forgiveness is that it's for our benefit. It's for our benefit to forgive, as opposed to allowing a root of bitterness and resentment to take place and grow up in our hearts, so where we can't have any joy. You know what I'm saying? So it's a good thing to forgive.
I think Jesus kind of made the same point I was making when he said, for if you forgive not, you know, it's easy to require payment of somebody who does wrong to you and you turn around and do wrong back to them. That's pretty good. That's pretty
right.
Easy. But if you forgive somebody who did something wrong to you, then you are the children of your Father. So in other words, he was tying what I'm suggesting to us. He was saying, this is how God is, since we say that this is what my Father said. My father, I had issues with my father too. He was a preacher, but he didn't even listen to his own words.
Yeah,
he's gonna tell me. He tells me that Jesus said, "This is what you do because this is how God is." But just like you all are doing, as soon as I say, "Well, wait a minute," if God tell me to forgive, and forgiveness means that you let it go, then how do you now turn around and say God is sitting up there talking about requiring payment? You know,
well, it's already been paid. God.
But if it's been paid, you don't need to forgive. That's the whole point.
What do you mean? You have to receive. But let me just say this. You have to receive the gift of the blood of Jesus that's been shed for you. See, that's where it comes in, because everybody's not going to receive this gift. You know, so you know, it's like you saying, I'm going to pay your mortgage. You know, we have a house. You're saying to me, I'm going to give you the money to pay off your mortgage.
No,
and I say, no, I don't want it. And if
suppose
I say,
I give to the bank, though.
I'm going to pay your bank. And I say, no, I don't want it. And if I say, I don't want it, guess what? If I refuse to let you pay my mortgage, I still owe.
Okay, but check this out. Let's do the scenario what you're suggesting God did. Let's suppose I didn't come to you and ask and say, I'm going to give you this money for you to pay your mortgage. Suppose I went to the mortgage company, the one who said you owe the debt, and I never even consulted with you about it. I just went right to the mortgage company and said, look, sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so, I'm going to pay this debt for them on their behalf. And the mortgage company says, I accept this payment, then the mortgage company can't come to you for anything because
I understand his reasoning, and I understand the logic in which he's coming
Thank
from.
Thank you, my brother.
And
I appreciate
his father, no, if his father was a preacher, he's well aware of the Bible. And
right.
I just want to get two you know, scenarios in the Bible and get his thoughts on this. You understand the woman caught in adultery when Jesus spoke to her?
Yes.
Okay, let me just make a point, and I want you to comment. Jesus, you know, this woman caught in adultery, where are your accusers? They went away. And what did Jesus say to this young lady?
He said,
first
of all, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more.
Right.
Okay. That's okay. You got it. Now, one more. The lame man at the pool, right,
mm-hmm.
who was lame, who tried to get in the water as the water was stirred and they got in before him. Jesus said to him,
your faith has made you whole.
Yeah.
Take up your bed and walk.
Then what did he say after that? Do you remember the text at all? Did he give instructions similar to this lady? He told her, go and sin no more.
Right,
and
exactly.
And take this young man of 38 years of infirmity.
Okay, let me think here. Okay, now that one's slipping me, but I do know.
Okay, he said, go and do not.
Oh, your sins have been forgiven.
Exactly.
Yeah,
well,
and they got mad, and he said, which one is easier to say? Take up your bed and walk, or your sins have been forgiven. That's
go
what
ahead.
He said, because they got ticked off.
That's good.
Yes.
And he said, sin no more, or something worse
something
will happen
worse.
To you.
And that's the point I just want to make and get your interjection on this. It's, to
okay.
me, the way I read the Bible, is not a blanket statement of forgiveness. As you saw with these two examples, Jesus said, in both incidences, your sins are forgiven. But
yes.
Guess what? There's a clause that comes after that. So I understand what you're trying to say, the rationale of God thinking.
But you asked, let me tell you what I'm trying to say using your scenarios. I've thought about this. You're not talking to somebody who haven't sat back and thought about it.
Let me ask you a question before you go any further. What's the point? I mean, what is it that you're trying to,
Well, we're having a discussion. That's really
okay,
the
you
point.
Just
we're trying to get a point
okay.
of no. We want to get to a some sort of.
I didn't know what your point.
A point
I wanted to
about
know
what
forgiveness
is. Since we're going to just throw these words around, but the brother asked this question about first the woman that was caught in adultery. The first thing he did was, first of all, it was the preachers who the ones who had the book in their hand who was accusing the woman of adultery in the first place. It was the preachers accusing her. And then he said he started writing on the ground, according to what I remember about the story. And then when he looked up, he asked her, where are the people that's accusing you? She says, well, they gone, I guess. You know, after he said he was without sin, cast the first stone. She said, well, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. The point was he could not say to her, I'm not accusing you, but you're still a sinner. he couldn't say that, because if he had started accusing her, then he would have been contradicting himself. What he understood was that the idea of sin, as it was in her mind, was in the preacher's mind, who was teaching her that she was a sinner. And so he said, "Well, I'm not going to accuse you, but release that sin out your mind. Go and sin no more." Now, how can he tell her to do something that she couldn't do? It was the preachers. The preachers have been teaching her that she was sinful. And that's why they were the ones who came to accuse her.
Adultery still is sin. It always has been sin.
Well,
and it will
Jesus said, neither do I accuse you.
What he was saying is, now I'm released, giving you an opportunity
to turn back. He was letting her know that she was not condoning. You see, that's because you say condone, you use the word condone because you think that if somebody does not accuse you, they are actually sanctioned.
Listen to me. Listen to what I want to say to you. We got the whole Bible. We can do this all day long. We can open up the Bible and we can look at Scripture and try to make that Scripture say what we wanted to say. God talked about it in Numbers, Deuteronomy, Exodus. Adultery is wrong, and it will always continue to be wrong. Even in the New Testament, God says that adultery is wrong. When you're married, you cannot go and sleep with somebody. I don't want to get high strung. I just need you to hear me out. Think about this.
This is what Moses said. Okay, you can't sing Deuteronomy.
I'm going to listen to you. Go ahead.
The preachers came to Jesus with the woman that they had caught in adultery, and they had scripture.
Well, we already talked about that.
And they said, this woman was caught in the act of adultery, and they had scripture, because they said, Moses said.
We already covered that.
Now, what do you say? See, this is, so when you start, this is the same thing you're right here saying.
And what did Jesus say? He said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. So what he was saying, this woman is in sin. No, that's not what he was saying.
Because they were accusing her.
Hold on, Brother Alonzo. Can I ask you one question?
Just answer yes or no. Brother Alonzo?
Sure.
Hello? Do you think God is sovereign?
Absolutely.
You think he's sovereign?
Yes.
But then you made the connection.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here.
You said he's sovereign, right?
This is what I believe.
And then you're, for the last 20 minutes, we've been not going back and forth because you was trying to make a point on forgiveness.
After this, we're going to have to...
And if God is sovereign, that means he's perfect, he doesn't err, you know, that type of stuff, correct?
Absolutely.
All right.
I believe that, absolutely. And therefore...
You're going to let me... we tried to give you time to speak.
Well, I appreciate it.
You know, we can go, as Pastor just said, we can go back and forth and argue this point on forgiveness. But forgiveness fits in with the whole Bible. And we, you know, if you notice one thing about us, if you listen to our broadcast, we don't get caught or stuck anywhere. And what we're trying to do is give you the mutual respect. But I just want to leave this discussion with you and I and Pastor Becker and our listeners knowing that God is sovereign and he doesn't make mistakes. And the Bible is the living word of God. Now, in the context in which we forgive, it's just too many examples in the Bible to go through in our show. So I thank you for your analogy. I thank you for the examples. I thank you for even your acts of forgiving those who have did something to you. You say your father was a preacher, and I pray you move beyond whatever he did, not living his words, and I pray that it's for you. And I know that there are things people will do to you as long as you live on this earth. I just want to say, just open your spirit, as Pastor Rebecca said, because I was you a long time ago. I rationalized, I was skeptical, I was second-guessing everything. Now I'm just so sold on the word of God, and that is the final authority. And I just want you, no matter what happened in your church life with your father being a preacher or even your personal experiences, I just want you to remain open-minded toward God and let God speak to you on this issue called forgiveness.
Okay, I appreciate that.
We're not trying to convince you to change your thoughts.
Yeah, I understand that. I didn't mean to sound like argumentative or anything.
Exactly. We know you wasn't. You was respectful as well.
I tend to think that what the ones who walk around with the 66 books under their arm are the ones who are not listening, because they assume that God is static, meaning that he is not passing out any new understanding today. And I think, and this is what I think, and I'll let you go after this because I appreciate the time you've taken, but I think that the Christian church has it all wrong, that God sees it totally different, that God understands that he is sovereign, and that if he did not make sin, then sin therefore cannot exist. And
okay.
All the things that, let me just hear.
No,
hear,
I can't hear
maybe,
more.
I know you
no.
can't hear, but that's
yeah,
the very
thank
problem.
Thank you so much for calling.
We thank you for the
we
call.
We appreciate your call,
yeah.
And God bless you. And I pray that you get back to Jesus one day. My God, you know, he's not even a believer. He grew up in the church, son of a preacher. And when people start saying there is no sin, those are people who just want to do whatever they want to do. They want to sleep around. They want to steal and lie, and they don't want to be accountable to God. But people, we can't live like that. We have to have a life of accountability. Jesus can't just be Savior. He has to be Lord. We love you, brother. We love you. Pastor
Amen.
Anthony.
Amen. No, I totally agree with you on that. When we make the Bible what we want it to be, then God is obsolete, and I'm just not the one to move God out of the way. And I pray for my brother, because I've heard the stories of preacher kids and it is a heart-wrenching thing.
Yeah,
where
I'm broken.
You
my heart
is broken. Life. Yeah, you hear somebody preaching the Bible and not living the Bible, and yet, like you said, especially those behind the pulpit, and you said it during Sunday service, if the preacher can't get it together, what
my
in
God.
The world are we all doing here?
If the preacher can't
and
get
that's
it
what's
right.
happening, you know, we're still in mess over the lives of the people, not knowing that we're ministering not just to our children, biological children, but if you're spilling out that kind of poison over your congregation, yes, it's having an impact, just as it is on this young person, this young man, who now has to try to rationalize or figure out God and almost put God in a box. But his word is freeing. His word is liberating.
It
doesn't take heavy discussion or logic to figure out the word of God.
Yeah,
that's why Nicodemus came to Jesus. You know, that's why the scholars came to Jesus, because intellect, as you said, couldn't do it.
Yeah. And like he said, he really, we were talking about forgiveness when Brother Lorenzo called us, and I don't want to talk about, he hung up. I didn't cut him off. He hung up. I just want to say that I preached that on Sunday, and I'm mad. I have to forgive his father. I have to forgive your father, Brother Lorenzo, because your father messed up. You know, if the preacher can't get it right, God forbid. How do we expect the people of God to get it right? You know, we can't live right, and we have the power of the Holy Ghost dwelling on the inside of us. What do we expect people to say when they look upon the church? So we'll pray that God really, really keep seeking God. But there is sin. The Bible, you're reading the Bible. The word is all throughout the Bible. And Firestarter says that, you know, if we Christians got it wrong, you know, that's because, you know, she said something earlier about if we've got it wrong, then we got it from God himself, because we are going according to the Bible, the 66 books, that not only that we carry under our arms, but that we meditate on day and night. The 66 books that give us power, that give us liberty, that give us the love of God. So, you know, we're not mad at you, but we're glad that you called to talk to us. But, no, we can't hear that. There's no sin? Oh, no, the devil is a liar. And I'm not calling you the devil, but there is sin. And God hates sin.
Yeah, and Pastor Becca, one of the points he tried to emphasize before he got off the line is that God is still speaking through revelation. But God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. There's some revelations, there's some prophetic words that are not changing ever.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So even though God speaks, you and I always warn people of these new doctrines coming down the pike.
Yes.
That, you know, I got something that the whole Christian church didn't get ever. And now let me share it with the Christian world. And we got to be careful of that.
Yeah.
Because the word of God supersedes time and time limits. There's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah, and if he's still listening, I just want to give this scripture that you were talking about, Pastor Emily, where it says, if anyone preaches any other doctrine, that's another doctrine. That's that Oprah doctrine. Oprah says that she has to remind herself that there is no sin.
I hear that a lot nowadays.
You know, and that's very misleading. Colossians chapter 2, and we only have 4 minutes. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18 says, It says, if anyone preaches another gospel.
Well, that's at the beginning of Galatians as well.
Galatians, it says, if angels or anyone else comes to you preaching another gospel, that you have to reject that gospel because they are cursed. So I'm going to find that. But Pastor Anthony, I just want to welcome Firestarter to the room. And I want to say to all of you listening and also the recipe box, listen, I want to say to you that we have to talk to people about these things. If we, the church, cut off the people who are unbelievers and don't enter into dialogue with them, then they will never know what we believe. So we don't mind. We can't be afraid. It says always be ready to explain why you have the faith that you do, why you believe what you believe. And I believe what I believe because I was out there and I was in sin. You know, I was in sin, and it's only God, it's only through receiving the forgiveness that Christ laid down his life for that I'm able to walk in victory today. So, my God, don't fall for another doctrine, and I'm not finding that scripture, Pastor.
Yeah, it's in Galatians chapter 1, and you paraphrased it on point, and as you said, you know, we can look at our own lives and see the consequence of sin. So
Amen.
If someone says there's no more sin because God has forgiven all of us, yes, through his son. And as you said, we got to receive his son as Lord and Savior, confessing with our mouths and believing in our heart. Just like a premarital agreement, there's something, there's a clause there that we got to read, the fine print. It's not just a blanket statement. We can't read the Bible always literally.
Amen. Praise God. Well, that's it for today's broadcast. We only have 2 more minutes. And Firestarter says that Jesus died so that we could have the power to forgive, love, be delivered and set free, healed and made whole. Amen. And one thing
Amen.
I want to say to Brother Alonzo, forgive your father. Forgive your father. He erred. Yes, he was a preacher. Yes, he messed up. But don't let your father's sin stop you from having a relationship with God through Jesus
Amen.
Christ. Don't let your father's sin turn you away from the church of God. My father sinned against me. My father was, the worst of worst. And I had to forgive him because I was sick and tired of being in bondage to my anger and bondage to my pain. So by forgiving my father, I was made free. So I want to ask you to free yourself, brother. Forgive your father. You heard Pastor Anthony. His father did so many. We don't even give a testimony. But forgive your father. You deserve to be free. And all the wrong stuff that you're doing, God wants to turn you away from that because it ends to death. It ends in death. The end of sin is death. So, yeah, the Bible talks about sin. Read your Bible, brother. Read your Bible. Go into the back of the book. Look at the word sin. And read the scriptures because they don't change. They're the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen. And I'm glad you're just reminding him that he is forgiven. Just like you and I and Firestarter and all those on this line, we realize that we're forgiven. And we realize that the Bible is constantly on a daily basis telling us to go and sin no more. And yet we all have fallen short. You know, so it's one of those things we're not going to go back and forth because yes, we are sinners saved by grace, and we can't undo that. But because the Bible declares me a sinner, I'm forgiven.
My God.
And we got to, like you said, you got to put the Bible in the right context, not, you know, come up with like you said, fancy arguments like we're in a courtroom, but just believe the word of God.
But one more thing I want to say to you, people of God, remember, if there's no sin, then there was no need for the blood to be shed, amen, and there's no use for Jesus. And we know that we need Jesus every day, every hour, every minute. God bless you. Praise God.
God bless.
Hallelujah. We love you.
God bless.